In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two of the program, we'll take a look at contracting at Arlington National Cemetery. The Ad Hoc Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight, looking into mismanagement of contracts at Arlington. Former superintendent there, John Metzler, and a former deputy superintendent, Thurman Higginbotham, before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight. And you'll hear from both of them in hour number two of our program today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number one, the ongoing furor over pay and benefits in the federal government. There have been, I believe, 719 articles in the past 10 minutes, it seems like, on pay and in the federal government. Do federal employees make too much? Do they not make enough compared to the private sector? The pay gap and pay and pay and pay and pay. The subject of a million pieces of research and articles, interviews on this radio station and on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Paul Rowson is managing director of World at Work and my guest to talk about these issues on In Depth today. Paul, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show, as always.
Thank you, Francis. Good to be here.
Before we get started, tell us a little bit about what World at Work does to give us a little context.
Well, sure, Francis. World at Work is a global human resources association that is focused on compensation, benefits, work life, and what we call integrated total rewards that help companies and organizations attract, motivate, and retain a talented workforce. We're an association that's a not-for-profit. We have offices in Scottsdale. I have the privilege of leading the Washington, D.C. office for our association. And we have more than 30,000 global members who are typically making leadership decisions for their companies in compensation benefits and all those other types of rewards that employees depend upon.
So you have the advantage of seeing the private sector and public sector aspects of human capital management. You know what's going on both sides of the fence, so to speak. So that's why I wanted you to come in and talk about some of these things, because that seems to be the crux of where all this discussion has been over the last, especially over the last month or so. Studies that say that federal employees make X percent more than people in the private sector, numbers that say that federal employees are underpaid by X percent, and so on and so forth. But that seems to be the discussion rather than the value discussion, which I want to talk about later on in the program, is are we getting a good deal on what we're paying people who work for the government? That'll be part of this conversation today with Paul Rowson on In Depth with Francis Rose. I want to start with something that you and I were talking about briefly before we went on the air. Our sister station, WTOP News, had a segment on today as I was coming in with Michelle Ree, the superintendent of schools in D.C., Jerry Weiss, the superintendent of schools in Montgomery County, Maryland. And I'm sorry, the name of the gentleman who is the superintendent of schools in Prince George's County escapes me at the moment. But they were the guests. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was pay for performance. It's everywhere. The same discussion that has been ongoing in government for however long. You make a note here in some of the materials that you sent over for us to talk about that NGA, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, is the only intelligence workforce that is sticking with a pay-for-performance plan. Do I have this right? The other intelligence agencies are moving away from it, according to James Clapper, who is the new director of national intelligence.
Well, first of all, Howard, I mean, first of all, Francis, let me tell you that I'm thrilled that you care deeply about this issue. You know, federal human resources is a critical area to our human capital in the federal workforce. And, you know, now's been an incredible time to really, instead of focus on some of the things that are wrong, let's really talk about the things that are going well and that are right. And let's be solutions focused. And what I really enjoy and the reason I choose to be on your show is that I'm confident that you and Fed Talk Radio are really, that's your ultimate objective in bringing these discussions to light. So I'm going to focus that on a bit. And as you referenced to the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, they under the, what was the Defense Civilian Intelligence Pay System group, when they were studied and looked at and reported on by NAPA, they were the one agency that was exonerated from disbanding from their pay-for-performance model, because I think, in fact, the NAPA and everyone else recognized that that was working. It was simply working.
Mm-hmm.
And every pay system that is working should probably not be tampered with.
Yeah.
If the employees like it, the mission's being met, you're attracting, motivating, retaining the talent you need. It's when those pay models, and whether it's pay for performance or whether it's a general schedule, it's whenever that model is failing, whenever it's not meeting that initiative, and when you see employees that don't feel connected to the mission, don't feel they have line of sight to their goals. And yes, performance is important to everyone. I doubt anyone in the federal government would like to feel that they're not rewarded for performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just doing it and how you go about it
yeah.
is the real challenge.
What is it about the system at NGA that's making it successful, and why can't it just be replicated? Why can't we say, this works, we'll just do it everywhere?
Well, I think because every operating environment's different. You go into the private sector, truth be told, every private sector finds its own formula for success based on what it takes to keep their workforce engaged. If you are an organization, for example, that's business and mission is to absolutely have the top talent available on the planet, you would expect that you would reward and pay those people differently. Your whole recruiting model would be shaped around that, and the value proposition around your reward model would not be to lag the market in pay, but to absolutely lead it. And then, and in essence, pay for premier athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, every group is different, and with NGA, you know, they have a do or die mission. And part of their mission actually in many ways ties back to protecting U.S.-based private sector businesses.
Yeah.
So if they fail, the consequences are dear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at NGA in a model like that, they have really thoughtfully designed it. What I think made their model unique was they basically in the beginning said, look, we've got license to do what works.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a look at their mission. They took a look at the culture that they wanted to achieve across their workforce, and that informed the HR strategy. They didn't. They kind of backed their way into the model that would fit, and then they did something that I think is relatively unique. They gave it the time, the effort, the resources, and the chance to succeed.
Mm-hmm. The time is the issue, seemingly, with a lot of these pay-for-performance plans that have been tried in government. Mm-hmm. They work for, they're in place for a year or two or three, and a decision's made that quickly. How much time, either in the public sector or private sector, do you think agencies need to let these things have to work themselves through to see if they are going to do what they need to do?
Well, the answer to that, Francis, I think could be answered best by change management experts. But one of the things that we do at World at Work is that part of our training and competency development is not just getting pay right, but getting the methodology behind changing a culture right.
Mm-hmm.
And most change management experts would tell you it takes 4 to 7 years for a culture to change. Now, if you add the additional layers of complexity and the issues around self-worth, finances, personal finances, you may need to change a reward model. Reward model change might take as many as 4 to 5 years
mm-hmm.
before you really start to get an idea and sense, is it working? You have to put it in place. You have to communicate it in advance. You don't do it to your organization in one fell swoop. You get people comfortable with what it would be like to move from a tenure-based model, a time and grade model, to a now time and grade is important, we value it, but more important is did you get the mission done? And then you migrate the people over along with a very strong alignment with your line management team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what NGA did remarkably well.
Mm-hmm.
They started at the very, very beginning with the program design, brought their managers along the way, the employees along the way. Was it perfect? No. I know no private sector pay system that's perfect. But if you're focused on getting there and you're focused on the end-of-minded mission, you can get there with the right leadership, with the right investment strategy, with the right resources. and then with open, transparent communication to your workforce.
And you say that none of the pay-for-performance systems are perfect, and the other side of that is, of course, Director Barry, the unions, all the other people who have a stake in this also say the GS system isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're in a situation where we're trying to transition from a system that everybody loves to something that not everybody loves just for the sake of change or because there are extenuating circumstances or whatever. It seems like everybody's headed for the same goal, mm-hmm. which is to find something that's fair and equitable for people who are doing a great job and then to encourage people to do that great job.
Well, yeah, let's really describe this animal for what it really is. And then I'm going to speak now not to the workforce, but I'm going to speak to my HR colleagues that are listening out there in the federal workforce. And I know some very, very dedicated people who are operating in probably one of the most extreme environments that I've ever seen. Let's remember that developing and maintaining federal sector pay and rewards is maybe one of the most complex human resources challenges in the United States. The federal workforce is a 2.1 million person multi-skilled workforce made up of a confederation of agencies with diverse and essential missions. It's probably, on average, the highest proportional concentration of educated, skilled, and tenured talent of any workforce on the globe. You know, in the private sector, businesses fail, shareholders lose equity, workers lose jobs, but the free global market tends to correct itself over time. In the federal sector, failure is not an option. If the Department of Homeland Security, the National Security Agency, the FAA, NGA, Drug and Food and Drug Administration, Center for Disease Control, NIH, if any of them fail in their respective missions, not only is the welfare of our citizens placed in dire jeopardy, but so are the private sector businesses that so depend and rely on these agencies to preserve their profitability and the jobs that they provide.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a federal worker worth who does that job?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard salaries compared, but you know, those are job classifications, and some of those job classifications are really blunt instruments. They're not really looking at all the nuances that are in a job that compensation experts, you know, with all due respect to economists, compensation experts would say, this is what the whole job is worth. And when you take a look at the risk added on the other layers,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there are very good reasons, even by private sector standards, why a federal worker is worth much more
mm-hmm.
than what entitled would be their private sector counterpart.
All right, let's talk about that some more when we come back
sure.
from the break, and we'll talk about replacement value and or the perception of replacement value as well. When we continue with Paul Rousen of World at Work on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has more than 40 years of industry-leading experience and was recently named Dealer of the Year out of over 30,000 companies. Ackerman has its own UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Put simply, with Ackerman Security Systems, you get the most qualified professionals in the industry monitoring your home for just $18.95 a month. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. So whether you want a new system or want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, Visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
And now, today's Terrorist Prevention Series, brought to you by the Metropolitan Police Department.
A bomb attack has killed 7 people and wounded 14 in China's far west Xinjiang region. That area has been hit by ethnic violence and conflict for some time. The explosion occurred on a 3-wheel vehicle during the morning rush at a bridge. It's not clear what kind of material was used in the explosion. One suspect was arrested. That area is the same place where tensions between the Uyghurs and the government has been raging.
Recognizing and being able to describe suspicious activity is the first step in terrorism prevention. That's why the Metropolitan Police Department created Operation Tip as an easy-to-use, reliable, and confidential way for businesses and other organizations to share potentially important information with law enforcement. Be the eyes and ears of our nation's capital and report suspicious activities to Operation Tip at 202-727-9099. That's 202-727-9099 or text 50411, because preventing terrorism is everybody's business.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Matchmaker, making a small business match. The SBA's National Minority Enterprise Development Conference. It starts this week. What does it mean to small businesses, to government contractors, and to agencies? We'll talk to the Deputy SBA Administrator. And who are the top 200 government contractors? GovExec's list is out. We'll tell you about it this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest for the hour is Paul Rousen, Managing Director of World at Work. And you can learn more about World at Work later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We're talking about, before the break, Paul, value of people who work for the federal government and what they add to the operation of the organization. And that's a pretty standard operating procedure when you're trying to determine what to pay somebody, whether it's private sector or public sector. I imagine the other major element of that is replacement value. What do you have to pay to compete in that space? And when you talk about some of the risks that are involved in working for the federal government and some aspects that you really are in a can't fail situation, is there any way to determine what kind of a premium, if a premium's appropriate? Or how do you make those decisions about how to figure out where to go?
Well, in terms of figuring out what a premium is, for those people who are top performers, for example, you know, this year our salary survey data shows that the federal government is currently on track to do a 1.4% merit increase.
Mm-hmm.
Without a merit-based pay-for-performance matrix in place, that means pretty much the standard performer, the top performer, is going to get their 1.4% increase. Meanwhile, the private sector is reemerging, and it is planning on paying on average 2.5% in terms of a merit increase. But the key thing we found in our 2010 salary survey budget was that these private sector companies that have weathered the storm are now going to use that 2.5% merit budget in a meaningful way to make meaningful distinctions for their top performers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the data that I shared with you that was really telling was in the major statistical market areas where the federal government competes head-to-head for talent, the private sector next year plans to pay upwards of 4% to their top performers.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would tell you right now, when you look at comparable worth in terms of what are the incentives to key people, the private sector not only has merit, which is designated as marked up for top performers, and typically we find 50 to 54% is the typical margin that you'll pay for a top performer over an average performer. In addition to that, they're able to pay bonuses,
mm-hmm.
and bonus money is being freed up now because they now realize that after weathering the storm and hunkering down, that's what it's going to take to grab that talent. The way you find out what the person's worth is when they leave.
Yeah, All right. Well, let's talk about that concept some more, too, when we come back with Paul Rousen. He's Managing Director of World at Work on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A reminder, in hour number two of the program, we'll take a look at contracting at Arlington National Cemetery. The former superintendent at Arlington, John Metzler, and the former deputy superintendent, Thurman Higginbotham. You'll hear from both of them in hour number two of our program today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are sinking on another disappointing report from the housing sector. The Dow's down 98 points, the Nasdaq lower by 26. The National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes fell 27%. That was the lowest level in 15 years. That's much worse than economists had been expecting. Sales have been falling since a home buyer tax credit expired at the end of April. Even record low mortgage rates haven't been enough to lure buyers back into the market. Coffee prices are near 13-year highs as recent crops from Colombia and Central America were hurt by bad weather. But that isn't hurting demand. Coffee drinkers rarely change their buying habits, and only if prices rise significantly. And PepsiCo plans to make over its Quaker division. That says sales of its hot and cold cereals have been hurting in the down economy. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
Everyone knows that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. You'd have to be living on Jupiter not to know that. Want to talk discounts? GEICO's got a list of discounts as long as a gorilla's arm, including good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and discounts for auto safety features. In short, GEICO's out to save you as much money as humanly possible. Scratch that. As much money as inhumanly possible.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Do you owe back taxes, being audited? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problems today. Call 1-866-694-4020 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Call Taxmasters right now at 866-694-4020 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problem.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
A recent survey finds most federal workers like their jobs, but the promotion process continues to be an issue. That's where Aon's Telephone Assessment Program, or TAPS, comes in. TAPS offers a proven method of testing an employee's skills for a position at the next level. Employees are asked to work through realistic job simulations and come up with positive outcomes to everyday challenges. All of this is done by phone with same-day results that are legally defensible.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
Here's Greg Schaefer, Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications, DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
We get to a point where we've got secure, reliable, and available systems. They're designed that way from the start. They're executed in a way that we know when we've got disruptions in real time, and we're in a position to knock down the risk and address those issues when they occur.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements make protecting citizens' confidential information increasingly challenging. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to keeping federal agencies ahead of the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, please call 1-888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
This case is about a murder in Mississippi in the 1960s.
A 64-year-old black male was picked up at his house by three white males, taken to a bridge in the National Forest where he was shot repeatedly with a rifle and then with a shotgun.
Special Agent Kevin Rust from FBI Jackson, who says the body was then thrown over the bridge into a creek.
One of the individuals that had committed committed this murder had been acquitted in state court back in 1966.
The individual confessed to two FBI agents after the murder, but claimed in court the victim was already deceased.
The murder had actually happened on federal property in a national forest, therefore making it a federal crime.
The FBI opened a case in 1999. In 2002, a trial revealing one of the motives.
That they were committing this murder in an attempt to lure Martin Luther King to the Natchez, Mississippi area where an attempt could be made on Dr. King's life.
The defendant was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison, where he died in 2007. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Which agency has the best transportation or parking options? Federal News Radio is now accepting nominations as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Tell us which agency has the best metro access or parking lots and which makes your overall commute a little bit easier. Send us an email or fill out your anonymous form with the agency you think deserves recognition. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. Nominations are being accepted all week.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Rowson is Managing Director of World at Work, and he's my guest for the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're sorting out some facts and some myths in some of the discussions that have been had about federal pay over the last, especially over the last month or so, but really over the past number of years that Paul has been paying attention to these issues. Federalnewsradio.com, not too long ago, in fact, just yesterday, Max Kakis filed a story under the headline, Representative Lynch calls inaccuracies in pay debate hogwash. Congressman Lynch, I think if you read the story at federalnewsradio.com, has some good points. He says there are misconceptions about federal pay, but it strikes me, Paul, that a lot of these people are talking past themselves or past each other. They're saying, actually, I think in many cases, similar things, different ways, and they come out sounding like they're opposed to each other. We have the Chief Human Capital Officer survey from Grant Thornton that I want to dig into, which you've been very praising. You've praised that extensively. I want to talk about that in a little bit. But this concept of how this discussion is being framed, it doesn't seem that we're talking, as you and I were before the break, about value. That what the shareholder in a private sector company or the taxpayer in the government is getting for what they're spending. Let's see if we can drill down and figure out a way that would be good for the agencies or for OPM or whoever needs to do it to explain to the taxpayer whether or not the facts bear out that federal employees make more than private sector people or whatever. How would you, if you were the consultant to whoever is doing this, recommend that they explain to people that taxpayers are getting a good value for their money or that the agencies are working hard to make sure that the value to the taxpayer increases for what they're spending on the federal workforce?
Well, Francis, I feel you first have to fundamentally look at how value is established. And the fact of the matter is that we are really working off of a antiquated job classification system. The methodology by which we're trying to make an apples-to-apples comparison has been constantly called into question. So, you know, basically what I would tell you is that what a compensation expert would tell you, the fundamental thing to do is to begin at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people who have our expertise, people who hold our certifications do this day in and day out. And our association has offered a helpful hand here. In terms of a neutral third party and professional resource. But you need to start at the beginning. And I think the advantage that that you could get from using someone like World at Work as a resource, not to here to sell our association services, you know, we are a not-for-profit, we're into professional development, but I'd rather speak for the people who practice our profession. They're quite capable at taking these systems and looking at them from a standpoint of a job worth hierarchy, from the job classification standpoint, from taking a look at private sector pay comparisons. But the fact of the matter is that everybody is using their own preferred resource, and everyone's coming with their own set of data. and everyone comes with their own agenda and conclusions. And you're the trains are never going to meet on the track under those circumstances. So I think what it's really time to do is to forget about who's right or wrong, and then just let's sit down and get it right for the federal workforce first. And because, you know, the most important thing you can do, and I've shared this with my colleagues at OPM, is to make sure that you've got internal equity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure the relative worth of your own organization is right. You don't want somebody working side by side with somebody else doing essentially the same task with a different pay system and a different rate of pay. That you don't even have the confidence of your own internal workforce. You get internal equity right, then you go out and you take a look at benchmarking to the external marketplace, and you do that under standards that are acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Should we get completely out of this business, do you think, of what the private sector makes compared to the government and on? Is there something there, or is it just something that we should let go, do you think?
Well, once again, I think you know, in terms of being responsible to taxpayers, you have to have some frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, as I said earlier, that frame of reference might be explained in terms that compensation experts can justify in a completely transparent way.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an engineer and I'm working in the private sector, and I have all the technical skills and all the education, but my government counterpart in the federal sector is doing a similar job, but they happen to be in the field of fire. They're under constant threat. They're separated from their families. They're working in a country which is a recognized not safe zone. How much is that worth? And would that private sector person say, you know what, in exchange for work-life issues, everything else, I'm willing to go over there and do that job for money?
Mm-hmm.
So you offset it with other type of rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the natural laws of compensation. It's an art form. It's not a pure science. And too many people out there are trying to make it an exact science, and it's never going to be.
I guess that was where I was going to go next, is are we trying to quantify this too much? Are we trying to boil it down simply to numbers and columns and not allow for that artistic license that you're talking about?
I think that's the case. I think that's to some extreme. But I think what you can always do is you can always say, here's what the jobs are relatively worth. But as you alluded to earlier, based on some of the risks, based on some of the scope and complexity of the job, you can create an inherent value in what the premium might be worth to reward that person. The key question then is, as my compensation colleagues would say, is that a temporary increase? Or so it should be in the form of a bonus incentive in which there's earmarked dollars for bonus? Or is this going to be a constant year after year augmentation of the job, in which case you would want to build that into annuity-based pay?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the challenges that you have to come up with, that you have to face in terms of developing these compensation constructs.
My guest is Paul Rouse, and he's Managing Director of World at Work on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We mentioned just briefly the Grant Thornton Partnership for Public Service Chief Human Capital Officer Survey. You referred to that off the air as a textbook, and I want to talk about why you think that's the case and then what some of the great lessons are in there for our Chief Human Capital Officer Corps. We'll continue that conversation with Paul Rousen when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future. Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
OPM Director John Barry.
We are working to get together all the agencies within the federal government that are involved on this issue. The Department of Labor, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Office of Management and Budget are experts on pay. You know, by September, October, we will have had sufficient meetings to come up with a game plan forward.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hour number one of the program today devoted to compensation and human capital issues at your agency with Paul Rowson, Managing Director of World at Work. And Paul, you talked about the Chief Human Capital Officer survey that was debuted on Federal News Radio 1500 AM not long ago. The conversation from Grant Thornton and the Partnership for Public Service, their third annual report on Chief Human Capital Officers, a survey they did. There's a ton of material in this. Max Kakis has written about it under the headline, Mission and Merit Systems Collide in HR. What was your maybe top two or three takeaways from this report?
Well, I'm having been in human capital for the entire career, my professional career, I've always learned in every organization I've worked down to, when I really boiled it down, it all came down to people. And I think what the Chief Human Capital Officers were saying was two things that really struck me. First of all, they have an HR workforce that too often lacks the competencies needed to move forward. That's a direct quote. And that there's insufficient leadership and workforce management skills among too many federal managers. So my question is, if we do nothing and we know what the future looks like in terms of some of the most complex tasks we're facing, how do we manage and how do we succeed? So rather than to say this is doom and gloom, what I'd like to say is I think what the Chicos are illuminating is the fact that we have got a phenomenal opportunity. First of all, in human resources, I don't think anyone in human resources in the federal government has been more needed and needs to step up and has the opportunity to provide the leadership that could never be more highly valued. It's going to take some competency building, some skill building, but the bottom line is, for those that aren't afraid and are up to the challenge, I think it's going to be one of the most exciting playing fields in human resources in any workforce landscape.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenges that I see here is that, you know, we've got an aging federal workforce that has been developed over time and tenure as leaders. And the government's been very good about sending people to FEI and other leadership institutes and has been a good educator. But now we're looking for free resources to train people because budgets are low. Next, leaders are looking at this 1.4% merit increase and their last three, and they're looking at looming retirement. So I'm fearful that there might be an exodus of leaders that we weren't planning that maybe have been held at bay because of the current economy and the state of TSP through savings plans. So with all those other rewards that executive's evaluating, if we don't train or replace the leadership levels that are needed for the years ahead, we could see ourselves backwinded in the federal government because the current new hires have not really had a chance to fully develop those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I'm concerned is, you know, Bureau of Labor Statistics just released information that says the average American will have 10.8 jobs from age 18 to 42.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2009, the overall turnover rate across all industries was 16.3%. If we have that kind of turnover in the federal government with the new leaders that we've brought in as interns and bright college hires or non-traditional from the federal from the private sector workforce, that could be problematic for us as well.
That's about one out of six people across the whole workforce changing every year.
Now imagine this, Francis. Nothing can be as disconcerting to a worker than to have manager turnover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's always wondering what the new boss will be like. Organizations lose productivity. So creating a very stable and competent leadership workforce that is supported by partnership and leadership from an HR group that is true strategic partners.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Navy civilian workforce, their HR leadership team has really taken the opportunity to say, this is a critical piece, and we're going to stand up for developing our HR workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud them for the job that they've done.
There is also a lot of risk. You said this is an exciting time. There's a lot of opportunity. There's also a lot of risk because while some of these mechanisms are being built from scratch or being totally revamped, blown up, and started over, if they're built right, I agree with you, there's tremendous opportunity. If they're built wrong, we could be locking ourselves into a lot of potential HR problems for the foreseeable future.
Well, you know, once again, there's two things that I think happen when you don't have the skills necessary to build effective models. Number one, you have a weak house without a solid foundation. The next thing is with all due respect, we need partners on the outside to outsource because the job that needs to be done, we need additional help.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to tell you that I think that those who contract for these services to be helpmates with the federal HR groups, they're absolutely essential. But they have a purpose that they serve. But ultimately, the internal HR team owns that process and strategy. And then they must provide that and hand that off to managers who are well equipped to use that tool set because every day it's that manager that has to lead that worker, not the HR person.
Mm-hmm.
No one says, I stay here and at any one of these great agencies because of HR. They're the unsung hero. It's the manager that ultimately makes that difference, and the line manager is HR's most important customer.
Paul Rousen is Managing Director of World at Work on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our time already starting to run out, Paul, so when we come back, we'll get some final thoughts from you about that CHCO survey and about what these chief human capital officers can do to help themselves as we proceed through some of these challenging times for HR people in government. We'll do that when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, I got you one of those new Cantina tacos from Taco Bell.
Thanks. Ooh, what's with the lime?
Do not be alarmed by my presence in your Cantina taco. It is true. I am the lime, and within this corn tortilla lies a world all its own. For inside, you will be greeted by marinara steak, diced onions, and fresh cilantro. And it is my duty to introduce worthy guests to such flavors, because I am the lime, and I connect the fabulous with the fabulous. And, oh, you're already squeezing. I thought we could talk more, but I see you got the idea. It is our finest taco ever. The new Cantina Taco from Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. At participating locations for a limited time only.
Put away your late night hunger with Taco Bell's fourth meal. All the crunchy, spicy, cheesy, and grilled tastes you crave after dark. Only at Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell is open till 1 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
You're the master and commander.
You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places. With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $99.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit verizonwireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-VZW-4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new 2-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
You probably know a neighbor, a coworker, or even a relative who's training right now for the Marine Corps Marathon. It's time for you to get off the sidelines and into the action, working alongside the proud men and women of the United States Marine Corps. Volunteer for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend from October 29th to the 31st. Support is needed at the Kids Run, on course, and at the finish with specialized medical and massage therapy volunteers requested. Sign up to volunteer as an individual or a group for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend in Arlington, Virginia. Call 1-800-RUN-USMC or visit marinemarathon.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My last segment with Paul Rousen, Managing Director of World at Work. And we've been talking in the last couple segments about this Chief Human Capital Officer study from Grant Thornton and the Partnership for Public Service. If I was going to pick it up and I was only going to read one segment of it, where would you send me? What would you want me to look at and take away from it?
Well, Chief Human Capital Officers have really said that there's a great opportunity to train their own workforce and invest in HR. And, you know, once again, I'm being a little bit parochial here because I come from the HR community, but that's where I would begin. You need to start with great human resources. So if I was a Chico right now, and first of all, I applaud my colleagues at the Partnership of Public Service. We're a private sector council member and very proud of partnering with them. And Grant Thornton as well. This longitudinal study is really showing where HR, human capital investments need to be made, and it is in the people. For too long, these people have been doing battle, so to speak, without the right equipment, without the right technology, without the right training and resources, and competencies to face the new challenges ahead of them. And now they're being asked to move from an administrative role to a strategic partner role. And that is a big challenge when basically you've been rewarded for administratively managing information and data. So that investment strategy, the Chicos need to fight for that. And those who are the CIOs need to pay attention that these people do not have the right technology to effectively compete and manage in the workforce. We would no sooner send our troops into battle without this type of equipment. And these people are facing a human capital challenge. They need the best technology and equipment. They also need career development opportunities that span more than just their one particular discipline. So if you're in compensation, you might want to do a stint in organizational design. Things that I think would really make that individual be prouder and say, you know, it's really worth doing the very best work here. And guess what? I can control the light at the end of the tunnel.
It's interesting that you say that because as we were talking about during the break, I imagine there are a lot of HR people, especially in government, with all the challenges that are that they're dealing with now at the agencies, that are focused on doing their jobs day to day and week to week and month to month, and maybe not thinking about the 2-year plan or the 5-year plan or the 10-year plan or the career plan. Where am I headed? What am I going to be doing? What should some of these HR people be doing to keep themselves engaged and keep themselves doing some of the things that we've been talking about them wanting to help the other employees be able to do?
Well, I think they should be asking their bosses and their supervisors and their line managers, what could I be doing to be more effective in my role for you? And then listen. You know, it's basically Lean Six Sigma time for HR. We should be going out and saying to our customers, of all the things I could be spending my time doing for you to help you meet the mission, what would be most important and most effective, and what would you value the most? That's what an HR strategic partner does. In that in itself, a person actually has control over their own career path, how they want to decide where they're going to place their time. And then all they have to really do is get permission from their boss. And I think most bosses in HR would say to their staff, yes. As long as I know that that's something that's valuable to the organization, value to the mission, and it broadens and enhances the value of my organization to the overall group, fine. But in the end, all those things take funding.
Mm-hmm.
All those things take executive level commitment and leadership. So my challenge to the Chicos, and there's many very, very good career civil servants out there in the Chico community, is, don't be so concerned about what may change today or tomorrow. Look at where you can lead your organization and ask for help and then invest in your workforce.
Mm-hmm. Is this a case, do you think, that the many times people say lead by example or lead this way or lead that way. One of the leadership tenets that seems like it might be in play here is that your people will tell you where they want to be led if you're paying attention to them.
They really will. And so I think all these surveys, like the Federal Employment Viewpoint Surveys, these are all validating where the best places to work are. There's elements there that show what the workforce is looking for and mm-hmm. what's important to them and where they're dissatisfied. And those are all signals that the leadership needs to pay attention to and then say, is my team equipped to handle that? And if not, what am I going to do about that? And what are we going to do about that? So I think that's what's really important.
Paul Rowson, Managing Director of World at Work, always great to have you in the studio. Appreciate you coming in and hope you enjoy the rest of your summer. And these challenges aren't going away. And I'll look forward to having you come back and talk some more with me about them.
The challenges aren't going away, Francis, but that means the opportunities aren't going away either.
I love your positive attitude, as always. Great to have you here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and my entire conversation with Paul will be archived later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, so you can hear it whenever you want. You can also hear in hour number two of the program today, conversation about contracting at Arlington National Cemetery, the former superintendent there, John Metzler, speaking about what went on at Arlington and how it can be potentially fixed in the future. Thurman Higginbotham, former deputy superintendent at Arlington, not saying nearly as much as Mr. Metzler. You'll find out why after the top of the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.